Welcome to this week's episode of The Art of Authenticity. I'm Laura Coe, your host, and thanks for tuning in. Today we have Tony Wrighton joining us. Tony is the host of the popular podcast Zestology, Live with Energy, Vitality, and Motivation. Obviously, we have a lot in common given that The Art of Authenticity is all about how to live life with meaning, and he's talking about energy and vitality and motivation. And we thought, let's jump on another podcast. I went on his, and you guys can check it out. I came in mine, and we did a double show. It was a ton of fun. And Tony shared with me that you're going to hear on the show today an incredible trip he took where he went to three or four different countries. He stopped on the way at this place called 40 Years Zen, which he broke down and shared with us, but it's basically an opportunity to attach all these probes to your mind, and it's like meditation done on a scientific level so that you get the benefits in a sort of ramped up, incredible way in a very short window. And it sounds amazing. It's really expensive, but Tony shares with us his experience there, going to Bali, everything going on with him. And as always, it was just a total joy catching up. He shares a lot of secret tips on vitality and energy. He keeps even a tracking log of all the things he does to keep track of where he is every day, how to increase energy and feel better and get the amount of work done that he wants to get done, etc. Thank you for tuning in. If you want to check out more, you can find all the information on my website, as always, lauraco.com/podcast. You'll see Tony's stuff there, all the links to his site. You can find Tony at tonywrighton.com. Zestology is the podcast. Check it out. And thank you so much for tuning in. Welcome to this week's episode of The Art of Authenticity. Today we have Tony Wrighton joining us again. Hey, Tony, how's it going?
Hi, Laura. So good to be back. Thank you for inviting me on.
I am excited. We talked, we were trying to figure it out. It was March of last year. Is that right?
Yeah, it's been almost a year. There's a lot to catch up on.
I know. I'm excited. I loved our conversation. I love what you're doing. Zestology, your podcast. I've been listening to it frequently throughout the year. And today I sort of caught up a little extra, given that we were going to chat. Anybody thinking about energy, vitality, motivation, just really great interviews. I know you do this for a living, but you're so smooth, Tony.
Ah, Laura, thank you.
Such a great interviewer. So I was listening to the things that are going on with you, and one of the topics that you're writing about and podcasting on, and you and I were chatting, and is you actually took the entire month of January off to travel. Tell me a little bit about how this came up and where did you go? What was that experience about?
Well, yeah, it came up because my day job, as your listeners might remember from last time, is that I'm a TV presenter here in the UK. And we have these kind of slightly strange contracts that renew themselves every once in a while. And I just had it in my head that I'd like to take a few weeks off to just explore and grow and learn, but also have loads of fun. So I said to my boss, look, you know, how would you feel if I started my new contract on February the 1st rather than January the 1st? And he was like, yeah, no problem. So gave me the opportunity to do some fun stuff. And I traveled west for the whole year, pretty much all the way around the world, actually. Started in Seattle, then went to Tokyo and Bali, and then back via Dubai for a couple of days, and then back to London.
Wow.
Amazing trip. Absolutely brilliant.
I think myself and everybody listening is trying to be happy for you and hold back a little bit of envy. But go ahead.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Well, you know, because one of the things I was aware is that a lot of people, for a lot of reasons, can't do that. You just can't get away. And so I'm in a very lucky position that at the moment I can. Yeah. And so it was just nice to take advantage.
Well, and you know, people who can sometimes don't, right? So that's also awesome. I mean, some of us, I think, will make up excuses as to why we really can't. But, you know, to jump on that, like, it's incredible, Tony. So, you know, it's easy to let those moments slip.
So, yeah, the first thing that I did, and one of the reasons I was looking forward to talking to you, I took this program called 40 Years of Zen in Seattle, which involves sitting in a dark room for a week with electrodes attached to your head and meditating.
And how long do you meditate for per day? Is it one of these all-day silent retreats?
No, it's not quite that. What it is it's neurofeedback. So the idea is that you have electrodes attached to your head, you start to meditate or achieve altered states, and they can measure exactly how altered those states are. Yeah. As well as that, you're getting auditory feedback. So you're wearing a pair of headphones, and it's a little bit like, it's a little bit like training a dog, except you're training your brain. So if you're training a dog and every time they do something right, you give them a little treat, they do more of it. Same with the brain. Mm-hmm. And so you start to get into a more meditative state. You hear a little sound in your ear. That gives your brain a treat. And your brain starts doing more of it. And the incredible thing is, even if you're not concentrating on anything, if you're just sitting there and doing nothing, this neurofeedback is still working. So it was a very trippy week. And I think, So that was the first thing. First day.
Tony, real quick though, but what is it that's attached to you? I'm not sure I'm understanding. Can you paint a little picture of
is it
a device on your head or what is that?
They are this is some of the most sophisticated brain mapping equipment in the world. And they're attaching literally electrodes to your skull. So they get a bit of goo and they put it on the electrode and they attach it to your skull. And I think there's either 6 or 8 of them, depending on where they put them. And then from that, they're reading your brain waves and your brain state. So, you know, depending on what kind of mood we're in and what emotions we're feeling, our brain waves will be at a certain state. And if we're more meditative, that'll be at a more kind of alpha state and a little bit lower. And if we're super hyper, then they'll be at a more beta state and slightly higher. So you can start to learn to achieve a more meditative or more creative or more intense state more quickly and start to kind of move between those states more effectively.
And so this is something like, it's not on the market. You couldn't have one of these at your house. This is something that requires going to this place.
Yeah, there are some basic versions. There's a headband called the Muse. Have you heard of the Muse?
I did. That's right. Yes.
Yeah. That kind of does a similar thing. And it costs, I think it's about $150. But it's pretty basic. And actually, it's not giving you the feedback on the brainwaves. You use an app and it helps you to get into a more meditative state. This stuff costs thousands and thousands of pounds. And in fact, the retreat costs thousands and thousands. It was a treat to myself.
Interesting. Did it work? Yeah. Did you get like a massive shift? Did you feel any different as you went through this?
I did. And here's the interesting thing about it, because the first day you start doing this, and like the first day I came out of it, because everyone says, oh, it's the most intense experience of your life. I mean, a lot of people I knew said that. And I was like, first day I was like, this is easy. It's brilliant. Just meditate a bit and it's fine.
Okay.
And then day two, you start working through your stuff. So as well as neurofeedback experts, and in fact neurologists at this retreat, they also have highly trained doctors who talk you through the whole process. So you really start to work through all the stuff that's been holding you back over the last however long you've been alive. It might be, you know, for me it was stuff deep into my childhood and stuff that was causing me pain or anger or shame or guilt or holding me back or grief as well. So day one was easy. Days 2, 3, 4, and 5 were not easy.
Wait, Tony. So you got this thing, you're meditating day one, you feel great. Day two, this stuff starts to come up because those are the thoughts in your mind or they're leading
day two, they start to ask you, okay, what are the things you think are holding you back? What have been the significant moments in your life which you would like to process or look at? And then once you've started to kind of gather these things, they give you a process for getting into a more meditative state and then working through the way that you feel about these things. And what's interesting is that by the end of day two, I kind of felt like I'd almost worked through all my stuff. But as it turned out, I'd only just started peeling back the layers of the onion. In day 3, 4, and 5, there was loads more stuff coming out.
So it's like therapy on steroids. It's like this is what every therapist office needs if they want to get results quickly, it sounds.
Exactly. And that's why they call it 40 years of Zen, because they say you can, you know, I mean, the you get into Zen state in a week instead of 40 years.
All right. You know what? I'm old. I'm catching up. I'm finally with you. That's so cool.
Yeah.
What an incredible experience.
And what was interesting for me was, and this is the reason I was looking forward to chatting to you, is that I think that the big thing that I got from it was I learned stuff about myself and the way that I am and my kind of program, if you like, that I never knew before. And it was so helpful learning this stuff that this self-awareness, I think the big thing that it's created for me is a deeper sense of authenticity.
How come? Why specifically authenticity?
I feel like I understand myself better, and therefore I feel that there's and therefore I feel like I can identify the times in the past when I've not been authentic, when I've not been kind of true to myself, because I've wanted to fulfill what other person I've wanted to be liked, or I've wanted to please people, or whatever it might, or I've been, you know, feeling a certain sense of guilt or whatever it might be. That self-awareness is so powerful when it comes to authenticity, isn't it? Because it started to explain to me why I've acted the way that I have in the past.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, that's why this word has been so powerful for me in such a like sort of centerpiece of the work I do, because ultimately figuring out who you actually are, I think, is, Carl Jung says, it's a privilege of a lifetime to find out who you really are, you know, because it's such a complicated process, as we've learned so many things about the world and what other people have told us about ourselves, and you buy into all of it. And it sounds like you were able to peel back some of the ways in which you show up and how you feel about yourself or how you interact with others to locate yourself. Because we're in there. We just can't quite find ourselves. It's an amazing system.
I know. It is. It's just, and even having gone through, you know, I think over the last few years, and actually probably the last year has possibly been the most important year of my life in terms of, you know, developing as a person and analyzing the things that weren't serving me well in the past. And even having already gone through that process, there was so much in 40 years of Zen that was still to come out.
And what do you feel like is the benefit of having found that sort of deeper awareness of yourself? Is there something that you can point to that says that, like, for me, it's a generalized state of feeling a little more content and calm. Is there something particularly that you're like, wow, it's worth it for this reason?
Yeah, I think firstly, connecting to a kind of an inner sense of confidence more. Mm-hmm. Secondly, feeling way less concerned about what other people think.
Yep. Yeah.
And I think the whole process has encouraged me to deepen my meditative practice. And that in itself would lead to the first two things happening as well, if you see what I mean.
So
I've been meditating more, feeling better about it, and all that seems to have helped as well.
Incredible. Oh my God. Mm. You're tempting me. I know I looked it up. It is thousands of dollars, but it sounds you spare yourself years of effort in a short video.
I think, have you ever been on a kind of a residential retreat like that before?
Yeah, so I went to Maryvale. I don't know if you've heard of that one, but
no. It's
out in Arizona, and Oprah actually featured it. And it's basically, you know, you go to this beautiful space in a hotel, and it appears to be a nice leisurely vacation space. But they have set up all of these tasks, and you all day long there's all these things to sign up for. And they look harmless at first view. There's a pole that basically changed my life. You climb up a telephone pole that's two stories high. And I thought, well, you know, I'm kind of athletic my whole life. Like, it doesn't look too bad. Yeah. You're tethered, you know, it's not like I'm free falling. Well, you get to the top and they don't tell you that the pole moves in the wind. So, you know, you're two stories up. This thing is moving from side to side. Oh, it's waving. Yeah. And then there's a tiny, tiny little plank on top that you have to stand on. And then they want you to jump. And
jump onto what?
Well, you've got a bungee cord. So you just jump off and you bungee your way down. But I couldn't figure out how to get onto this little plank, because I was like, if I climb up and over, I'm going to go flying over the other side. And so basically the way you approach the pole tells you about your personality. So some people who completely are in a denial state will fly up the pole and fly off the other side, and they won't feel anything. I found myself completely overthinking each step. Like, if I was trying to get to the next part, right? So it's all these little systems like this. I don't know even what you call them, right? Like, they've set up these like playgrounds for adults, but they bring out this fear within you in the way that you interact when you're in a state of fear, in a very interesting way. And then their staff walk you through and guide you through how to do it. And it's very immersive, and you spend days there. It's an incredible experience.
That does sound brilliant. And do you think there's something, because I feel like I heard someone say, I think it was Neil Strauss actually, who said he felt the best way to kind of approach deep work is to go to somewhere where you actually do work through these things intensively over a few days, as opposed to 1 hour a week with a therapist or whatever it might be. I mean, you know, when you're immersed in, what was it called, Maryvale?
Yes.
Merivale or 40 Years of Zen, then that gives you the chance to really immerse yourself for a week in the work. And then you can, you know, hopefully take those learnings in your day-to-day life.
Completely broke me open. I believe in it entirely for people. If you get the opportunity to do it, I went straight from that pole to a healer who had worked with 7 different ancient tribes as a healer. He had a Western medical degree on top of it. He did everything from acupuncture to drumming to chanting, like to release, like whatever was going on. I mean, I was just completely broken open by the end of the day. It's an incredible thing because I think a therapist once a week or whatever, I do coaching once a week, it is hard. It just takes a lot more time to, you know, it's just not a lot of time dedicated. If you think about working out at a gym 1 hour a week, right? How much?
Yeah. 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 Wow. That's so cool though. And, you know, I mean, interesting what you mentioned about fear, because fear was one of the big things that came up for me in terms of having a mindset that's not very comfortable with the uncomfortable. I don't think that's been something that I've kind of embraced very, very well in the past. And I think growing up, you know, thanks to stuff that happened in the family, you know, in terms of grief and death, our kind of family vibe was always to kind of stay safe. But because of that, it didn't necessarily encourage me to get outside my comfort zone as much as I should. So just being aware of that was so great because it's allowed me to, it's allowed me to almost make a habit of, for the rest of my trip, the next 3.5 weeks when I went off and had a great time in Tokyo and Bali, everything that I felt a bit of hesitation about, I did, which is fantastic. There was only one thing that I had a bit of hesitation about that I didn't do.
What and I'm was quite that?
It was a colonic hydrotherapy session. And my friend did it and he felt so weak and tired afterwards. I was like, okay, I'm glad I didn't do that one.
I totally understand that one. That sounds terrible. Wow. What an incredible experience. So you leave the 40 years of Zen, you're feeling depleted or amazing? Are you high energy or low energy at this point?
High energy. And, you know, I think they deliberately do it that way. They obviously want to send you out in the world on the Friday evening feeling great.
Yeah.
And then, Saturday morning, I flew from Seattle to Tokyo and met 3 of my best friends. And I mean, it was quite interesting because, I mean, that was quite an intense experience in a way. You know, there was, every sense is absolutely kind of engaged by Tokyo, which is such an intense and wonderful and different city to anything that people who live in the Western world are used to. And I found it, I didn't feel like I was very meditative. And I actually emailed the guys at 40 Years of Zen halfway through. And I said, you know, I'm feeling a bit angry at times and kind of quite overstimulated. And they said, well, that's understandable, you know, because you've gone straight from 40 Years of Zen to this very overstimulated place. And then what was nice was once I got to Bali, completely different vibe, far more chilled. Then I had the chance to kind of process everything that had been going on at 40 Years of Zen and start to kind of settle into it. And actually, I think every week since and every, maybe not every day, but every week, I've been noticing different benefits. It's continued to percolate over the last few weeks, which has been nice.
Really? Like in what kinds of ways? Just the thoughts keep coming up and clarity is happening week over week?
Yeah, exactly that. You know, more realizations and just noticing different ways that I'm kind of acting slightly differently or getting slightly different benefits or emotionally reacting to things in a slightly more mature way, maybe. Yeah. So all of those things. Yeah. No kind of profound insights. I think they happened more during the program. And there were a few things when I was like, wow, so that's the way that's the reason I am like that. And and I am like that. And I didn't even realize.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
Would you be willing to share any of these epiphanies or are they very personal?
Yeah, very personal. But it's, I mean, you know, I'm quite happy to chat about it. I mean, stuff like, for example, you know, I'm single and I'm 42 and I've always said that I've never met the right person and I haven't. And yet there's probably something more to it than that. And I kind of realized on that program, I actually kind of knew this already because that was related to some of the work I'd already been doing. But I perhaps hadn't been giving other people enough of a chance based on nothing more than what I'd learned growing up. So it's not my fault, but that's just kind of my operating system, if you like.
Yeah.
So if you think of it like a computer, I just kind of upgraded the operating system a bit to give myself more of a chance. And I think that work probably started last year and the year before, but so helpful to realize that. so yeah. helpful to realize that, you know, stuff I was thinking back to stuff when I was 5 years old and kind of reframing it in my mind. So it's pretty good.
It's amazing. It's amazing. You know, I've joked about this, but I really, it sounds like this 40 years of Zen is a solution for my joke. But I, you know, we go through, we come out, we're these pure little beings, you know, happy, free, and life happens, you know, it's complicated and our mm-hmm. parents are maybe well-intending, but their lives are complicated. And, you know, they sit there and they teach you all day long, right? You're talking about operating systems of your mind a lot, and right, they're programming you.
Yeah.
We're learning language, yeah. We're learning morality. We have the ability within us as human beings to learn language and morality, and they're layering these things in. But who's to say that they're the things that work for us? And so,
yeah.
You know, it's such an incredible gift to be able to start to peel those things back and ask yourself, is this working for me? Is this one shift in a belief system going to open up, in your case, you know, a potential relationship? It's incredible. Mm.
And that's one of the nice things about this is, you know, there's no blame as such. And a kind of central plank of what goes on over this week is based around forgiveness. So, you know, no blame. And complete forgiveness. And, you know, you don't come out of the program thinking, oh, I can't believe the time that teacher said that thing to me when I was 11 years old. That has been the cause of all my problems.
Yeah.
I mean, I had a wonderfully happy childhood, you know, but it turns out that some of the operating systems that I was working on in terms of my emotions just weren't serving me well. Yeah. So there's no blame about that. But it's just nice to be aware of that and then look at changing it.
Yeah. Once you are aware, you can make the choices you want to make. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Self-awareness is the big thing, actually, isn't it?
It really is. And, you know, it's so funny. I just did a piece on this, but it's like you just hear it everywhere, right? It's like everywhere you go, awareness, awareness, awareness. But it's so hard. We talk about it as if it's just, oh, yeah, okay, be aware. But actually trying to be aware for an entire hour of the things you think, it's incredibly difficult because we're kind of like little tiny unconscious habit bundles, right? We just
yeah. And do you meditate?
I do a lot of yoga and I meditate sometimes. So it's sort of as the wind, you know, moves
wind
me. Yeah. It's something that I've done at times for, you know, consistently and other times not. I don't know. Something about having a child, I can't seem to figure out how to fit it into my life perfectly, or maybe that's a perfect excuse. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Well, it's hard. I mean, I've got a lot better, but today has been one of the, you know, and that's something that they encourage you more than anything to develop that meditative practice.
It's incredible.
It's still not perfect. Yeah.
It's a profound experience. And the science shows too, it changes your brain. It is something when I feel stressed, I use all the time and it's amazing. It just slows everything down. So you've been doing Zestology now for, is it a year? How long have you been?
No, it's almost 2 years now.
Almost two. Yeah. My fault. I thought we started at the same time. What has been going on? And, you know, it's a podcast about energy, vitality, motivation. Are you bringing these ideas into the podcast, or what are your thoughts for the year?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, because originally, I think we spoke about this briefly last time, but it was kind of born out of wanting to do two things. Firstly, a selfish perspective. I'd had this illness where I had no energy and I spent 3 months in bed. And so I was interested from a purely selfish perspective, how to get back to kind of optimal health. Yeah. And then secondly, during that process, I spent so much time Googling and consulting Dr. Google that I realized that there's so many people out there with either serious health problems, but more than that, kind of low level dissatisfaction, unfulfillment, illness that they can't quite work out why, but it's not quite working for them.
Yeah.
And so that's why I thought, wow, that'd be great, you know, because when you've got energy, everything fires, doesn't it? You know, I mean, for me, when I'm feeling on a super, today is, I just feel absolutely buzzing with energy and everything's been great. You know, I mean, and I'm productive and I've been creative and I've got loads done and I feel my best version of my best self. When I don't have that, it's not the case. So yeah, in terms of the podcast seems to be going well. And then personally, it's just nice to kind of soak up all this knowledge and put it into practice. And so that's what I've been doing. Stuff like 40 years of Zen, you know, I'd met plenty of people in the Bulletproof community and I knew that I was having this month off and I thought, wow, that'd be a great thing to do in my month. And so it's just been nice because I was kind of present and I thought, well, you know, I mean, I was thinking about doing something else, but actually that'd be a great opportunity. So maybe I'll do that instead.
Yeah. It's an incredible platform to grow for yourself. Do you feel like when you interview your guests, is there something specifically that you've been taking away in terms of your own growth and motivation and finding that next place in yourself?
I find the same themes come up again and again. Do you find that as well?
I do.
and it's actually very reassuring.
Yes.
Because you know, in terms of diet, eat more fat and eat less sugar. It just comes up again and again. And then within that, obviously, there are so many different points of view and so many refinements. In terms of supplements, the same important supplements seem to come up again and again. But supplements are something I'm massively interested in and can get a bit geeky about as well. So I like to try new stuff if it's kind of brought to my attention and test it out. And that's been great as well.
How did you get into supplements? I feel like that has a... People are into it or very into it, and people who are not, I think, are very skeptical. What do you say to the skeptic out there that says, oh, that stuff, you know, you're just wasting your money?
I mean, that's fine. You know, carry on being skeptical. I think it's nice to be skeptical but open-minded as well. My thing is I like to get into the geeky tracking, and that's something I've been doing a lot over the last year. So that is taking something or trying something, whether it's a lifestyle practice or meditation or something sporty or something nutrition-wise, but then tracking it. So I've actually got the evidence of whether it works or not. And I do this with various apps. I use spreadsheets. And in fact, there's no one app out there that is perfect. So I'm actually developing my own app, which people can use that will exactly give them. So you can tell when you do yoga, for example, you have 5.4% more energy. That's kind of exciting to know that stuff, to me anyway.
Completely.
Yeah.
So do you track this stuff right now on spreadsheets and everything? And what are you tracking? Like, what are the things you're currently tracking?
Oh, Laura, I am tracking so much stuff. It's embarrassing.
Really?
the spreadsheet just grows by the day. At the moment, you know, one thing I'm interested in tracking at the moment is I'm tracking this supplement called OxyTech, which in the States, I think, is slightly different. It's called Oxy Powder. Okay. And you take it at night before you go to sleep. And it kind of, for want of a better word, it flushes everything through.
Okay.
I hope that's not too much detail for your listeners. Just keeps things moving.
All right.
Anyway, on the days that I take that, my stomach and my energy levels and my general well-being, 2 days later, are up to 20% higher. And I was like, wow, this is interesting feedback.
And so, you know, your energy levels are higher because you just like your sense of self. Is that how you?
No. So I what I do is I give it a percentage out of 100. So today at the end of the day, I'll go to bed and I'll fill out a few questions. So what was my energy level out of 100? What was I track my stomach because I sometimes get a dodgy stomach as well. And then I track inflammation. So how do my joints feel? How did I feel in the gym today? Is there anything that's sore? So I give these things a percentage out of 100. Now, obviously, it's subjective, right? It's not, you know, just because I say it's 75%, it's not, you know, there's nothing to prove that.
It could be 71%, but it's close enough. But
that's what's so interesting, you know, because it's based on how I feel. And if I'm feeling good, I'll give myself a higher percentage. So based on that, then you can start to track stuff like what happens when I take X supplement. And some things work amazingly, and you'd be surprised at how some things don't work so well. For example, I've been tracking yoga and working out in the gym. And like you, I love yoga, and I do it a lot, and it just seems to agree with my mental state. On the days I work out, my energy level increases far more than when I do yoga, which I was surprised about. But that's what the data tells me.
You know, now, I can see that because yoga kind of actually mellows me out. And so I think I sleep better. I feel better, like calmer, but I wouldn't say it's energy producing. Although, you know, back bends, apparently you could try this since you like to track. Do more back bends. See if
wow.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Well, one of the things I'm working at the moment, I'm not tracking this, but doing lots of hamstring stretches. Like I'm trying to do it a few times a day.
Okay.
And because I got very, like so many men, you know, we played football and we did loads of sport at school, but we never stretched.
Mm.
And then it's just so, it feels so good to stretch now. Like I feel like my whole body's lengthening out. So I'm trying to do a bit more hamstring stretches. I need to probably track that as well.
That's amazing. Oh my God. Yeah. I had Sebastian Marshall on the show. I need to connect you to. I'm not sure if you heard him. He's a writer. Anyways, he has a spreadsheet that's like 100 deep. It's incredible. And he just tracks everything. And you know, there aren't great apps for tracking this stuff. So are you serious that you want to create an app, or was that something you're just
talking about? Yeah, I am creating one. I've already got one app on the App Store, and that's like a self-development audiobooks app. So I'm kind of, you know, I'm an app developer. Well, I'm registered as an app developer. It's a little sideline. But yeah, it's just I found nothing that tracks as well as what I know that is possible. So, and I've tried every tracking app out there. I mean, if your listeners want a couple that's good, what I use for spreadsheets is a app called Data Explorer. And then there's an app called Health Mapper, which is quite good for tracking trends. And Sleep Cycle is good for tracking sleep trends as well.
And Tony, like, do you go as far as like actually coding and developing, or you hire companies to do this?
Oh, God, no. No, I use virtual freelancers. So get online, employ someone who's great at it. And I have someone in Argentina who does my website. And I have someone in the Philippines who is kind of like a virtual assistant.
Yeah.
And I have someone in the UK who helps with podcast marketing. And I don't know where the person will be that I employ to help with my app, but I'm excited to kind of meet them.
That's amazing. So your year is kicked off with a month-long travel. You had this incredible experience at 40 Years Zen, creating an app. What else is on the horizon for 2017?
I'd say doing less. So you know, because I know you are a type A personality, aren't you? You've achieved so much, and you've sold businesses, and you had this incredible career as an entrepreneur, and you still do, but in a different way. And I feel like we're both quite similar in that we're both quite driven.
Yes.
But I feel what helps me is to actually do less. And I'm getting better at that, just switching off.
Yeah.
And of course, when I do switch off, it makes me so much better at what I do as well.
Yeah, it's. I think there's an addiction to busyness if you're not careful. And it's something I've worked really hard at. But, you know, it's like, am I busy or am I getting things done that matter to me?
Yeah.
That's sort of been my litmus test. Because it's easy for me. I do like to just be really engaged, and so I can pick up things. But I started really analyzing what gets on my yes list and why. If it's not actually.
Yes list, that's a nice phrase. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you know, I think I didn't have a process for saying yes. It was just a whim.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really
cool. And actually,
cool.
You know, in terms of the tracking, there was one thing related to this, that when I didn't do something on a certain day, my energy levels were down 21.6%. Can you guess what it is?
I fear. What?
It was when I organized, I mean, this is going to make me sound like a proper geek, but I tracked my fun levels out of 10, how much fun I'd had on a particular day out of 10. And when there was very little fun on a particular day, like below 5 out of 10, my daily energy level was down 21.6%. So, wow. I mean, you know, talk about goal setting, just organizing fun stuff, nice stuff that I enjoy during a particular day. As you say, it's easy to get bogged down in the day-to-day minutiae of, you know, work and the daily routine, which you might see as a bit of a grind. But yeah, the fun stuff seemed to raise my energy levels a lot.
Right, which then helps you focus on the things you're wanting to get done, and you actually get them done faster, right? But we just, we don't want to buy into that. Tony, as always, you're such a fun guest. I feel like I could just chat with you. I feel like I'm having a coffee at a local coffee house.
Thank
it's
you,
so Lord. Nice. If people are interested in checking out your podcast, where can they find you?
They can Google Zestology, and you'll find it. It's on iTunes and Spotify and everywhere else. And yeah, my website is tonywrighton.com. That's W-R-I-G-H-T-O-N. And yeah, it's all there. All the old podcasts are there, and blogs, and my geeky tracking experiments as well.
Awesome. And you'll update us on the site as your app is coming out. Is that right?
Yes, I will. I'm excited about this, actually, because I know that there's nothing else doing that. There are two apps that I think are a start. There's this app called Sleep Cycle, which measures your sleep, which is good. And there's an app for women which tracks periods. I can't remember what it's called now, but that is absolutely brilliant for tracking as well. My girlfriend uses it, and she's found, you know, it gives you so much detail. But I can't remember what it's called. So if you want, I'll find out. Awesome. Oh, I found it. I've just Googled it. It's called Clue.
Clue. C-L-U-E. Weird.
Yeah. And this gives you some detailed information, asks you loads of questions, all looks very nice on the site. And you can, you know, track your cycle, but then also you can kind of turn your own data into information about your health, which you can use to feel better.
Very cool. Because your energy and emotions change very much for women.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I'm going to bring out Clue for men. No, I'm not. I'm going to do a tracking app, but it's difficult, isn't it? Because I've got this great idea, but obviously with apps, and I have experience with this already, all these apps have huge teams that make them as brilliant as they are.
Yes.
So if you've got an idea for an app on your own, it's hard to make it commercially viable. So really I'm doing this as a bit of a passion project, but I think I can make something relevant to people.
Yeah, it is. It's the ones that we love, Headspace for meditation. I mean, it's an entire company. They're venture backed. So these ones I fall in love with one after the next. I'm like, I could do something like this. And then I find out it's a $20 million backed company. You know, it's hard to make things as beautiful and simple as these companies end up creating.
Well, you know, my app that I've got out now, that has actually been downloaded 500,000 times. And it still gets downloaded, you know, I don't know, I think it's either 100 times a day or 100 times a week, despite me giving it no love at all.
Really?
So, because it's out there now and it doesn't really need updating unless something goes seriously wrong. You know, it's like 4 free audiobooks and then 11 that you pay for. But
dude, that's incredible. I got to check that out. I had no idea. That's amazing.
I'd love you to check it out. Yeah. I mean, I think the issue is, you know, what you said about the kind of venture capital and about these apps having, because also these apps, a lot of them don't make a profit. What they want to do is make it as big as possible so they get bought. And that's part of the growth plan, right?
Yeah.
But when I brought my app out, it was right at the start of the app store. So I think that probably gave it a bit of extra traction.
Oh, is that right?
But, maybe.
Maybe. It's still getting downloaded now, though. So that tells you something.
Yeah. But when you download it, just bear in mind the graphics are a few years old, all right?
No
just
judgment.
Bear that in mind.
No judgment.
No judgment.
Judgment free.
Yeah, it's just a few years old.
Awesome, Tony. Thank you so much for coming on today. I will, as always, have all your information posted on our site. And it's just incredible to catch up. And congratulations with all this amazing personal growth and professional.
Thanks, Laura. It's really good to chat to you. And hope we can do it again soon.
Perfect.
Thank you.